Great day, great people. Thank you so much for tuning in to Disciple Me yet again. I'm your host, Dr. Kahala Bolton, and we're going to continue on our topic, Fighting to Win Spiritual Warfare. This is going to be part two. We've already went over part one and kind of delved off into spiritual warfare and went over the scripture that we're using to give us our foundation and our basis. And so I just want to take a moment to read that scripture again, and then we're going to hit home on the topics that we're going to talk about tonight. And so the scripture is coming out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 12, and it reads, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And so on last week, as we came together and met, one of the things that I wanted to make sure that you know that it was very important that we are able to identify the type of battles that we, you know, we face in the spiritual warfare realm. And so the thing that's really important for us as believers is that, you know, knowing the type of battle that we're facing, you know, when you know what it is, you can determine your success or your, you know, the failure that you may face based on where you are. It'll be a reality check for you. You know, for right now, we're going to talk about the spiritual battles, and I have placed them in three categories. And so those categories are going to be sovereign storms, satanic storms, and sinful storms. Those are the three categories that we're going to touch base on for this particular session. And so knowing which storms that you face not only helps determine your battle plan, but it also lets you know how you should respond, and then it may help you understand what God is trying to accomplish in you through the storm. So this is the purpose of this lesson as we move forward. So let's go into and take a look at sovereign storms. And sovereign storms are storms from the divine. They are God-ordered, God-sent. They did not necessarily come into your life because anything like that you have done or not done. They simply come so that, you know, God will be glorified. That is the perfect, you know, that's the reason why and the purpose behind why we have sovereign storms. And so John 9 tells the story of a man who was born blind. And the disciples went to Jesus and asked, "Why was this man born blind? Did he sin? I mean, did his parents sin and cause him to be born blind?" In other words, the disciples were asking, who was to blame for this terrible thing in this man's life? Was he being punished? You know, these are the questions that they're asking. And so Jesus answered them by saying, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." And that's in John chapter 9, verse 3. See, Jesus was saying that this situation, had it not come to this man because of anything that he did or his parents did wrong, that was not the reason why he was facing this particular storm in his life, you know, as far as being blind. But it came so that God might be glorified. And so God allows some storms to come into our life so that we will remember to praise, worship, and glorify God. And that's one of my issues that I have with, you know, some people, because whenever they are faced with trials and tribulations and things are going on in their lives, so quick to blame things on the devil. And so we have to be very, very careful about that, because everything is not, you know, Satan driven. You know, God definitely is in the midst of some things. He is creating some things because he really wants us to definitely remember, you know, he created us so that we would worship him and bring glory to him. So the storms that we very well may be facing could be what are considered to be sovereign storms, and that is, you know, sent by God. So I want you to make sure that, as again, as I always want to encourage you, to make sure you have a journal handy so that you can really put this into introspect. Make sure you have your Bibles handy, because I want you to go back and research this yourself and allow this to meditate in your heart and really get this in your spirit. The next topic that we're going to talk about is the satanic storms. And so, of course, these are storms that come from the devil. So as with anything, we know if you have been in church, you know, or whatever, you're going to find that God allows things to happen. So even with the satanic storms are God allowed. And so the story of Job is a perfect example of a satanic storm. And so the Bible describes Job as a perfect, upright man, one who feared God and shunned evil, and that's in Job chapter 1, verse 1. He was the greatest of all men in the East, and he made sacrifices to the Lord regularly on the behalf of his sons in case they had sinned. And one day Satan went before the Lord, and the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." And that's in Job 1:1-7. And then, so then God asked, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him." And so Satan then, you know, then the next thing you find is then Satan attacked Job and stripped him of everything, his children, cattle, and even his health. And through all of this, Job continued to give God praise. Now, remember, God wants the glory in whatever you go through. So the story ends on a high with God restoring to Job twice as much than he had before. So you must remember that satanic storms only come when God allows them. And when he allows them, he controls them. The devil can't do more than what God allows. He will never allow you to go through more than you can handle. And so the temperature may get really extreme, but God always has his hand on the thermostat. Always remember that. Satan's motives in this storm is to destroy you, but God uses the same storm to shape and mold you to reflect more of him. And this is why the word says, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And that's in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. See, God can use what appears to be negative in your life to be the best thing that could have ever happened to you. So no matter what you're going through, don't get sidetracked by the storm, okay? Don't get sidetracked by the storm. The third type of storm that we're going to take a look at is that we're going to take at the sinful storm. So we already talked about sovereign storms, which are God sent, satanic storms, which are storms that are, you know, created by the devil. And then now we're going to talk about sinful storms, which are basically storms of discipline. And so storms of discipline are storms that come as a direct result of sin. This, you know, when sin comes into our lives, these are the type of storms that we face as a, you know, as a result of that sin. And so there are consequences when we disobey God's word. Although God is loving and forgiving, he also chastises those he loves. And that's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. See, when Nathan confronted David about his sin, he told him there would be grave consequences for for the disobedience that he had. And so the sword will never depart from your house, David was told. And as a result, David experienced the storms of discipline. The baby he and Bathsheba conceived died. There was incest and murder among his children. David's sons Amnon raped his sister Tamar. Amnon was killed by his brother Absalom. Absalom later rebelled against his father and formed a conspiracy to steal the heart of Israel. Absalom was he was eventually killed himself. I mean, look at all this stuff that is transpiring, you know, as a result of, the storm of discipline that came on David's life. It not only impacted him, but it impacted his entire family. When God allows storms of discipline to enter into our lives, he is trying to bring us to repentance. Because God loves us so much, he will give us many opportunities to turn from our sinful ways before he extends his wrath. And his wrath may come in many forms, you know, from sickness, a loss of a job, loss of family, loss of joy, and even death. And God wants us to get to a place where we cry out to him, admitting that we have sinned against him. And so 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We just got to confess. Amen. Thank God that when we go to him, he is there willing and waiting to forgive us. And so David prayed for remission of his sin in Psalm 51. And this is what God desires us to do when we encounter storms of discipline in our lives. This is very important. So we have discussed the different types of storms. So you will now have to respond, you know, to these various storms that come in your life. You must remember, God wants and deserves the glory in everything that you go through. In every situation you face, God is in control. And Ephesians 6 gives us a clear instruction on how to fight the battle and how to win. Now, just as a soldier in an army must be equipped, armed, and prepared, you too must be equipped, armed, and prepared to face what Satan throws your way. And 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Excuse me. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so as a Christian, you must be knowledgeable of Satan's tactics and have a plan for victory. This is why it's so important for us to be equipped with the knowledge of God so that we can learn, you know, the things that we need to learn so that we can fight and not just fight just to be fighting, but to also fight to win these spiritual warfare battles. So again, going back to the text, when you take a look at our foundational text that we're using here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 12, Paul was writing to the saints at Ephesus because the converted Jews in the early churches had a tendency to exclude others. Because they would separate themselves from the Gentiles, the major theme of the book of Ephesians is basically unity. Paul opens the book by explaining the divine origin of the church, and he explains the plan of salvation and its provision. He embraces the Gentiles who are, you know, now children of God. He removes all the barriers between the Jews and the Gentiles and unites them as one body in Christ. And then he prays for their spiritual growth. And so in chapter 4, he urges them to be consistent in their Christian living. And he deals with their home life in chapter 5. And then it is in chapter 6 that he reveals to them who the real enemy is. It is extremely important that Christians be able to identify who the real enemy truly is. Many times we have what I call is mislocated battlefields. So we might, you know, we fight each other when we should be fighting Satan. You know, that's a mislocated battlefield. And it is very imperative to remember that we are actually on the same team. And there are three things that you must know if you want to be successful in the battle. There's three things that you need to know. The first thing is this. You need to know. You must know the source of your strength. That's the first thing. You must know the source of your strength. The second, you must know the strategy of Satan. That's the second thing. And then the third thing is, you must know the security of the saint. Okay? So let's take a look at this very quickly. You must know the source of your strength. What is your source? Your source, that's the Savior. Our source is our Savior. Okay? So Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. As a child of God, your only success lies in the fact that you recognize you have one power source, God and God alone. And sometimes the storm of life will take their toll on you and cause you to feel you just can't go on, but you must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not your own. And this means that you must respond to trials and tribulations God's way. You should not take matters into your own hands. Why? Because though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish, you know, arguments of every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. You do not have the means, resources, or knowledge to fight the enemy with your own strength. Therefore, you must rely on the Savior. And relying on the Savior requires you to take your hands off of the situation. And so this means you must release the situation to God. Many times our trials are intensified and lengthened because of our disobedience and determination to handle it. I like that right there. Let me read that one more time. Many times our trials are intensified and lengthened because of our disobedience and determination to handle it. I once heard a preacher say, God will keep you in the classroom until you pass the test. And so many times you stand in the way of your victory. God becomes the source of your strength when you yield to him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat heard the news of the children of Moab and then Ammon and the Ammonites, you know, was coming against him. And the Bible says that he sought the Lord, proclaimed a fast, prayed, and then began to reflect upon the goodness of God and his previous blessings to them. And this is how you allow God to be your strength. One, you got to seek the Lord. Study God's word, allow it to dwell richly in you. Study it consistently, for it is your spiritual nourishment. And without it, you will be weak, malnourished, and defeated. Not only must you study God's word, but in your trials, you must also obey his word. You are most vulnerable to giving in to Satan when you are going through difficult times in your life. You have to remember that we are very vulnerable when we're going through difficult times in our life. And so it is important to seek to be obedient to what God would have you to do. It does not matter what you may face or who may have hurt you. God is holding you accountable for your response. And so in Psalms chapter 18, verse 20, it says, the Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands, he has rewarded me. You have a responsibility
as a child of God to walk upright. So, like that, like the saying goes, you must do the right thing. Amen. The second thing, in order for us to allow God to be our strength, first one, seek the Lord. Second, we need to fast. And so we'll study about, you know, we'll get into the study about fasting a little bit further along as we journey on into Disciple Me. But you must fast. Fasting is a strong weapon in spiritual warfare. And it alarms God of a 911 situation when you sacrifice for a spiritual purpose in your life. God honors your sacrifice. He hears your cries, and he responds in love. So the third thing that we do that allow God to be our strength is prayer. Prayer is the way that you connect with God. Not only do you talk with him, but he also speaks to you. And the word says you are to pray without ceasing. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. See, when you face spiritual battles, your solution and victory lies in telling God, not in telling others. Amen? So let's do some reflection here. Jehoshaphat began to reflect upon, their previous deliverance. And through your trial, it is good to always reflect upon God's goodness and your previous triumphs, remembering that God's faithfulness in your past experience will strengthen your faith in the presence, because what it's going to say is basically God has not failed you. Amen. So the next thing that I want to do is I want to touch base on knowing the strategy of Satan as it relates to, which is basically spiritual warfare. And then I'm going to talk about the devil's strategy. You know, basically it hasn't changed. So that's where we're going to kind of lead to then. And then when we pick up on next week, we're going to have some discussion things that I'm going to throw out for you so that you can examine yourself. I'm not going to give those tonight, but I'm going to go over these last two topics so that you can have this. So the next thing, you must know the strategy of Satan, and this is spiritual warfare when you know Satan's strategy. Again, we're coming from Ephesians 6 and 12, just that one, dealing with the spiritual warfare of the matter. You must remember that no matter how things may appear, the battle that you are engaged in is not against flesh and blood. It is not a battle that you can see with the physical eye. And you cannot look your enemy in the eye. So therefore, the person or people that you believe to be your enemy is not your real enemy. Your real enemy is Satan, and the real battle is in the heavenlies, the invisible realm. This is a spiritual thing. And this is why human efforts, you know, cannot be used to fight the battle. Every Christian needs to understand the strategy of Satan. When I was in high school, I had a friend who played on the varsity basketball team, and he told me that during practice, his team would watch videos of their opponent's team, and they would spend hours reviewing the tape to study the strategy of the opposing team. And after studying the tape, it was imperative that they develop, like, a plan of action. And so as a Christian, you must study your opponent. Our opponent is Satan, and you must have knowledge of his schemes, devices, and strategies. And you must also have a plan of how you will respond to them. See, many times we are defeated in the battle because Satan catches us off guard and we don't know how to respond. As an army soldier goes out with a battle plan of action, equipment, and training, you too must be prepared for the battle that is before you. You have to know the strategy of Satan. This is spiritual warfare. And so the devil, here's the reality for us, and this is going to be the last thing that I'm going to touch base on tonight. The devil's strategy has not changed, okay? The devil has had the same strategy throughout his existence. It has not changed. Isn't it something to know that he has used the same tactics throughout the years, and he's still successful in luring us into his dangerous well? That is crazy. you would think that we would eventually catch on, but unfortunately, we still act and react with our flesh and sinful nature, which must be constantly brought under subjection to the authority of Christ Jesus. And so in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it describes the three primary areas in which Satan will tempt us. These are three areas in which Satan will tempt us. We see this happening at the beginning of time when Satan approached Eve in Genesis chapter 3. As Satan tempted Eve, the Bible says she saw that, you know, that the tree was good for food. And this was lust of the flesh. That's what that was. How many of us today have difficulty denying ourselves of food? Look at that. Okay? This is why fasting is such a challenge. The Bible goes on to say the tree was pleasant to the eyes. See, this was this that right there, the fact that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, this is lust of the eyes. The tree was appealing and beautiful. And that's what Satan does. Satan always dresses sin up and makes it look attractive to the eye. And then lastly, we are told the tree was desired to make one wise. And what the, you may say, well, what is that? This one is pride of life. See, Eve was made to believe that if she ate of the tree, she will become like God. Pride takes you to a point where you begin to trust and believe in yourself, and it defies and disregards God. Amen. So I really hope that this has been some good food and some good meat, some substance for you as you have joined me, you know, in this Disciple Me session as we are discussing fighting to win spiritual warfare. This spiritual warfare thing is very, 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 very serious. But the best thing that you can definitely do for yourself is to know the strategy plan of Satan. Once you start to study him, to study his schemes, and to start to identify, you know, what he's done, again, you're going to start finding out for yourself that his whole thought process and everything has been the same. It's been the same. It has never changed. So I just want to encourage you tonight. I want you to encourage you to stay focused, to stay steadfast in your word, to make sure that you go over this particular lesson. And as we continue to go forward in spiritual warfare, you'll find that you continue to have the tools that you need. And we'll pick back up, and we're going to talk about some really great things on temptation and how it leads to sin and all that good stuff on next week. But I just want you to remember that as we are closing out this particular session, that, you know, you must know the source of your strength, which is our Savior. You have to know the strategy of Satan, which is spiritual warfare, and you must understand that the devil's strategy has not changed. It has not changed, and it will never change. It's just going to always be the same. And then make sure that you remember the types of storms that we face, which are sovereign, satanic, and sinful storms. So just go back over that material. Always feel free that you can listen in to this session anytime that you want. It'll be on demand. This has been your session of Disciple Me. I'm excited that you've joined me tonight. I am your host, Dr. Kahala Bolton, and if you want to follow us on the web, you can do so at www.wofsg, that's Women on Fire for God.com. All right. Well, as always, be blessed and be a blessing. Until next time, always remember, ministry that costs nothing, it accomplishes nothing. Blessings.